A preacher's 5-year-old daughter noticed that her father was always paused and bowed his head for a moment before starting his sermon. So one day she asked him, "Dad, why do you sort of pause before you start your sermon?" "Well, honey," he began, proud that his daughter was so observant of his messages, he said, "I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." And his daughter said, "How come he doesn't answer it?" That is not what my daughter said to me. It was somebody else's daughter. Come, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is so powerful and so exciting and full of life. And I pray this morning as I share from your word that you would speak to each one of us and really help us to take away something that we can put into use right away. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our theme this month is abundance and God bringing us to a place of abundance. And I was praying for this new and asked God, what is the word, the message that you have for us to carry us through for this year? And clearly the word abundance came out to me. And as I looked at scripture, I found this amazing scripture that talks about the trials and tribulations that sometimes God allows in our lives, and they don't even make sense to us, but the hand of God is at work in our life. And it says he does all that to bring us to a place of abundance. And so God's work in your life is always to bring you to a place of abundance. And so when you yield to God, when you give in to God, he will always lead you to a place of abundance. We were talking this Friday about what does it mean to give in, to yield. It means to completely, wholeheartedly, with all your understanding and emotional will, to rely on God, which requires us to trust him. And that's a hard thing to do, because especially when you feel like God hasn't come through for you and things are not going like you'd want them to. But when we yield to God, when we give in to him, he always, always comes through for us. You know, God has good intentions towards you always. Can you say that? God has good intentions towards me always. And the great thing about his intentions is that he always follows through on them. You know those friends who say, "Hey, I'd love to take you out for a meal. Hey, I'd love to take you out for a meal." 3 months later, "Why don't we go out for a meal?" 4 months later, you're waiting. When's that phone call coming? They have great intentions, but no follow through. God has followed through. He will come through. And the Bible says, in his time, he makes all things beautiful. Beautiful. And so, what does the word abundant mean? The word abundant means to be overflowing. It means to flourish. And my text for this morning is taken from Psalm 92, a beautiful text. It says, the righteous, everybody say the righteous, flourish. Will flourish. Everybody say flourish. Flourish. No, not flourish. Flourish. Roll the R. Flourish like a palm tree. Try. Flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. They will still bear fruit in their old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. And there is no wickedness in him." A beautiful scripture. And I'm going to unpack what it means for us as righteous people of God to flourish like a palm tree, and what it means to be like a cedar of Lebanon, Lebanon, what it means to be, and how God wants us to flourish in his presence. God wills for you to flourish, to grow, to be planted, and to be established in the house that he has placed you in. There is the universal church of God that we could all belong to, the universal body of Jesus Christ. But then there's also a local expression of many groups like this across the city. And you are not here by chance. You're not here by accident. In some way, God has engineered things for you, and maybe willingly or unwillingly, you are here. But God, as you've yielded, has connected you. And through these relationships, God will work in your life here at life. That's what God does. You know, God establishes us. He plants us. And you know, if you're here and you feel part of this body, then this is where God will establish you and grow you. You being here is not a matter of chance, but of divine placing. It's of divine placing. And God has a funny way of getting through to us. When God has brought you here and placed you here, you are here in life and I'm there to thrive. Everybody say, I'm here to thrive.
I'm here to thrive.
Isn't that good? You're going to thrive, and our desire is for you to flourish. And our role and responsibility as leaders is to make sure you achieve the goals and help you to achieve the things that God has given you, that He has divinely placed in you, which is why I'm doing the next 3 weeks on reaching your potential, or not reaching, but realizing your potential. So you in your workplace, at your place of work, can learn simple principles that will help you to achieve the things God wants you to. So let's look at the first word, flourish. The palm tree in scripture is always linked to a true follower of Christ. It was a picture they used of a palm tree. Now, why was this palm tree used? The palm tree is a very peculiar tree. Now, we're not talking about the coconut palms when the scripture talks about it, but it's talking about the date palms. And Joy's going to put up a picture up for us. It has a hard, tough exterior, but a soft, bulby inside. It's always grows straight and heavenward. You see, these palm trees, they never bend to the left or the right. Even if you put a rock over it, a sapling, that palm tree will find its way out and will always move heavenward. And so there are characteristics that are similar to those of us that have a relationship with Christ. It always towers above the other trees. It is always seeking to reach heavenward. It has the least roots amongst trees. And all its energy is used to help it to grow heavenward. It has just one key root. It's called biology, Amy Joy. What root is it? The arrow root or carrot, whatever root it is. It's like the carrot, just one big root.
Taproot,
that's right. And there was a T and a P somewhere. It can never be repressed, pushed down or trampled on. This thing will always find its way up again. There is a vine known as the killer vine in Palestine. And it kills all other trees, but it cannot kill the date palm. It kills every other tree, but not the date palm. It is an evergreen and always thriving tree. And it never accumulates dust on its leaves. It's designed by God not to accumulate dust. And we as righteous, the righteous in God, are designed not to carry things that God never intended for us to carry. Don't carry other people's mess on your shoulders. Me. Help them to find their relationship with God. And so it produces fruit that is sweet. It produces dates, some of the sweetest fruits that are found in the desert. And they're there for others to pick and enjoy. And this beautiful picture you have of this palm tree. And the Bible says the righteous are like. And what will they do? They will flourish. Everybody say, flourish.
Flourish.
They will flourish in the house of God. God wants you to flourish as a palm tree or like a palm tree. And so what do we learn from this? We learn that we as people who have a relationship with Jesus. Now, how do I become righteous? How do I be righteous? Is there something that I need to do? My righteousness is not what I have done, but it is what God has done for me. It's what God does for me. And all I need to do, the Bible says, is if I put my faith in Christ, my faith in Jesus Christ, through faith, I can receive the righteousness of God. Righteousness means to be in right standing. And so God requires and wants for every one of us on this earth to be in right standing with God and right standing with one another. But the primary beginning of that journey is right standing with God. So you don't come and God, I'm going to prepare myself up and come into your presence, or you'll accept me when I'm all sorted out. No, God says, come as you are, and my righteousness will make you good enough for me. Isn't that great? I'm going to illustrate this. Would you come up and Alfred, for this moment, will be Jesus. All right? And this is me. No relationship with God, just finding my way through life. And all of a sudden I discover that I can have a relationship with the creator of this universe, a personal relationship. And I come into that relationship. And the Bible says that when you choose to follow Jesus, when you choose to believe in the things that he said in his word, and by faith You make that decision. How do you make that decision? Nobody catches your ears. Nobody twists your arm. Nobody forces you to do it. You choose personally by faith. When you stand before God, the righteousness of Jesus, who knew no sin, who has no issue with man and has no problem with God, the righteousness of Jesus becomes mine. And so when God sees me, how does he see me? The Bible says that we are hidden in Christ Jesus. So here I am. I'm still working out issues in my life. I still pick my nose and pull my hair and dig my ears, all those things that I shouldn't do. I still get upset with people. I'm still not perfect. I never will be till I get to heaven. But God's goodness in Jesus is mine because I am hidden in Christ. And so when God calls my name, it's, oh my God, he saw me again. No, it's he looked at me through Jesus and he sees Jesus' goodness that makes me acceptable to him. Isn't that good? So wherever I go, who's with me? The righteousness of God. And that's why the Bible says the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall be evergreen because it is the goodness of God that makes me good enough for God. Isn't that good? Can you say that? The goodness of God makes me good enough for God. Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. How come there are such nasty people in places like this? Come on. We are work in progress. You know, God is working in us and he's working on us. He's perfecting his work in us. And so, yes, someone's going to say something they shouldn't say, and they're going to hurt you. But as far as God is concerned, he has accepted you already when you accept and follow Jesus. Isn't that great?
Hallelujah.
That's the simplicity of the gospel message of faith. And so each of us are righteous in that. And the righteous shall do what? They shall?
Flourish.
Flourish. Like a palm tree in the house of God. The palm tree casts the least shadow. It does not interfere with the growth of its neighbors by hindering the rain and the sunshine. So the righteous people are not selfish. So likewise, the Lord's people, the righteous, do not hinder other people from growing. Instead, they will make room for other people and say, I want to see your palm tree grow even taller than me if need be. We don't retard the prosperity of other fellow beings, but we rejoice when somebody is doing well, and we weep when somebody is suffering. We come alongside people in their pain and we rejoice in their gain. They do all they can to assist others who are entitled to the share in the life of abundance. Isn't that good? And so that is what God wants. And it never casts a shadow on the surrounding trees. It is hard on the inside, but soft. Hard on the outside, but soft on the inside. It means that we are able to take the criticism. And, you know, as a righteous person, let people say what they want about you. As long as you know that your heart is right. As long as you know your intentions are pure. God sees your heart. God will judge the motives of every one of us. And we just need to live life righteous. But our righteousness will also make its way out in our relationships with one another. And that's a bit more hard work. It's a bit more difficult to be at right standing with everybody. But at least the Bible says some people you have to just tolerate. It's good. You know, the Bible says love your neighbor, but also says tolerate your brother or sister. And so, you know, we're not supposed to be, oh, I love you so much. Some people, you just got to tolerate them. It means be patient with them, long suffering, and just bear with them as God works with them. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And so that's it. Now the second thing that the scripture talks about here is the word grow. Everybody say grow.
Grow.
The Hebrew word for the cedar tree is erez, a word delivered from the... Now you don't want to know all this, so I won't tell you all that. I'll tell it to you afterwards. The cedar tree was firm because of its tenacious root structure. The cedar tree, unlike the palm tree, developed strong roots in the ground. It established itself, and it was a long, tall, majestic tree, and it grows very close to its other trees, and the other trees will intermingle and support each other. It's an amazing wood. And this wood This wood was used to panel the entire of the temple that Solomon built. And it was an expensive wood. It was a wood very hard to get. And so he commissioned the king of Lebanon of that time, or Tyre, to bring in every bit of cedar wood that he had. And he paid a lot of money to get that because he wanted to make the house of God the most beautiful place. And so we see that cedar wood was used to line the house of God. It was used as pillars, as panels, because it was an expensive wood. It was a wood that had an aroma. It smelled good. It was a wood that had no knots. It was a clean wood. And so it looked beautiful. It kept insects away. It was a long-lasting wood. And this is significant, not just of the righteous believer, but of the believer who is now growing in his faith. And God wants to establish you to that place where you are tall and strong, and where you become not just somebody that receives, but somebody that supports and enables and facilitates other people. And so the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and they should grow tall like the cedars of Lebanon. You see the picture here the scripture is using. And this tree was a solid tree. It was fixed in place and it could resist pressure. It was well founded. It was the opposite of firm is weak or uncertain. I want to go back to something. The word flourish in the Hebrew means to twinkle. I like that picture. The word is used to sots, means to twinkle. And the opposing word to that in Hebrew is to be ashamed, confused, and disappointed. You see, God doesn't want you to be like that. He doesn't want you to be ashamed. He doesn't want you to be confused or disappointed. But He wants you to. And for you to flourish, you need to grow. And so God, like the cedars of Lebanon, He gives us that picture of us growing. The third thing, the other thing about the cedar tree, is its foliage grows into the neighboring trees and helps neighboring trees and supports them. That's a picture of people growing from just simple believers to leadership and taking responsibility and caring. And as our church matures and as we mature together, in this coming year, I'm going to begin leadership training with people to prepare you not just for leadership here, but for leadership of your entire life. Every area of your life, we need to prepare you for leadership. So as you grow as a person, wherever you are, isn't that good? You know, the amazing thing about this wood, even though it's strong, it's very soft. It's easily carved, it's easily shaped. And that's why this wood was used for paneling, so they could decorate it. And that's the thing about the cedars of Lebanon. They were strong and mighty, but they were also yielding to the carver's hand. And God wants us to be tough and strong, but also to yield to His work in our life. The third thing is God wants for the righteous, for them to be planted. Everybody say, planted. Ladies, you like this joke, I think. There are too many frogs in the church. You ever kissed a frog and hope to become a prince? You know, they go from one pond to the other. God wants you to be planted, established, set in a place so He can work in you, so He can do the work that He needs, so He can bring people alongside you. Oh, but I'm fed up of that. Well, exactly, God's working on you. You see, God wants us to be established. When you are established in a place, through the relationships that God has placed around you, He can work and build His life in you. Seek to develop roots of relationships with God. Establish your relationship with God first. And that's one of the things we do here. And then amongst people, find and place yourself amongst people that will nurture you, encourage you, and help you to grow. We have enough negativity every day. The moment you step out of your building, there's somebody that's trying to cut you up. You have enough of that at the workplace, not in the house of God. It should be a place of encouragement, a place where you are built up, where people believe in you, where people are not gossiping behind your back, but they are saying only good things about you, wishing good things for you, praying that you will succeed in every way. That is the kind of people who will be here in life. Isn't that good? You know, everybody knows my negativities. But why don't you celebrate the good things, like my good looks and my graying hair and my six-pack that has extended itself a little bit. It's all about perspective. But listen, God accepts us the way we are. We need to understand that. And we need to love one another. Yes, a biryani joke from you, Mario? I'm handsome. Thank you so much, Mario. Thank you. Let me pop my ego right away. All right, moving on. All right, Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. It says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Jesus Christ, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. I love this very simple approach. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. I have to do a little bit more study and then God will work in me and then I can do something. He's saying quit that. Quit making those excuses. Just get on the job. Start living your life of faith. Start expressing yourself and let your living spill out into thanksgiving. I love this. God calls us not just to a place of introvert living, but living for others, being a blessing to others. Isn't that good? And there's a season for all of us that we must prepare and study and prepare ourselves. There is also that time where we must come forward. The fourth thing is fruitful. So God wants the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Then they will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. And they will be planted in the house of God. And they will be fruitful. Fruitful. God wills for you to be fruitful. Say that. God wills for me to be fruitful. It means in every area of your life, beginning with your relationship with Him, beginning with your health, your finances, and your work, in every area, God wills for you to be fruitful. The blessing of abundance is always fruitfulness, bearing fruit in season, and being productive. That's so important. So many of us think activity is fruitfulness. Activity, any kind of activity may not be fruitful, it just may be a busyness. But activity that is purposed is what is fruitful. And when we teach on your achieving your potential, we will be breaking these things down. So your life in 2014 is one willed by God to be an abundant life. I'm going to say that again. We're going to say it together. My life in 2014 is one willed by God to be an abundant life. Isn't that good? When you are connected with the source of abundance, you will always have abundance. Your source always determines your security. My source is God. When I don't have what I need, God gives me everything that I need. That's what the Bible says. Everything. It may not be how I want it to be, but I have everything I need. Isn't that good? And in this year, God wants to establish us in that way. So what are the four things that the righteous have when they are planted in the house of God? The righteous will flourish, everybody. You've got to get, roll your R's. Flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon, planted in the house of God, and will flourish in the courts of God. They will still bear fruit in what age? They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. What an amazing year we have ahead for us. Each one of you. Each one of you. God has got an amazing year. As you connect with God, as you open up your life to him, as you yield yourself and make yourself vulnerable to God, and allow the right people to come alongside you, to help you in that journey, there is no telling what can, when you look back in 2014, what kind of a year you had. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you, each one of us today, as we break bread and share in communion, that we would know what it means to be strong, flourishing, established, growing, and fruitful.